The scooter craze has hit the city of Trees in full force. Last week, e-scooter companies Lime and Bird rolled out scooters in Boise, and you have likely seen them everywhere since then. Currently, there are 450 scooters available to ride within city limits. However, in August, Boise city leaders passed a new ordinance that regulates the operation of these scooters. City leaders also say they're cautiously optimistic about this rollout, unlike the city of Meridian, which shut down those companies. Love them or hate them, we may have to learn to live with this new form of microtransportation. Joining me live to talk more about this are Bill Neri, Meridian City Attorney, Lana Graybill, spokesperson for the Boise Mayor's Office. And joining us live by telephone is Ariane Marshall. She is a reporter with Wired Magazine who has covered scooter sharing all across the country. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So, Lana, I want to start with you. So far, this has gotten quite a bit of traction in Boise. We rolled this out on Thursday, and I believe Lauren McLean with the City Council, Boise City Council, said that there's been something like more than 3,000 miles covered on these scooters so far since Thursday.
That's correct. So between the two companies, there have been approximately 16,000 plus rides in the 5 days that they've been since they've been deployed, and about 3,000 plus miles ridden.
And did you expect this type of ridership this fast?
You know, we didn't really know what to expect. Our goal really was to educate residents and to make sure, that we did our part in sharing how to be responsible in using these scooters. But honestly, we didn't really know what to expect. So the numbers speak for themselves. People are loving them so far.
So why did the city decide to, partner basically with these scooter companies? And you did put, certain ordinances in place, but, why go down this path?
Right. So we actually updated our bicycle ordinance to include e-bikes and e-scooters. And this happened in August. And really, it was to be able to give us a seat at the table to be able to work with these companies and ensure that when the e-scooters were coming into town, that we'd be able to work with them closely and have some regulations around where they can be deployed, how many, and to be in close communication to see how, post-deployment, how they're doing. In January, we're planning on actually relooking at the ordinance to see if any other modifications need to be made.
And Bill, with the city of Meridian, they came in late September, seemingly kind of overnight. Tell me what happened in your city's instance.
So for Meridian, the Lime Company did a presentation to the city council back in the late spring, before summer, asking about this service and asking about initiating this type of activity in the city. And the city council was very favorable. They thought it was a good opportunity for this type of service to be used, but they've also made some commitments about contacting private property landowners, working with the city on outreach, working with the city on locations for docking these different scooters. And they actually presented as both bikes and scooters jointly, and predominantly focused on bikes, not as much on the scooters. So we had an expectation of that they would do those things. They would work with us, they would be in contact with us. And we really heard nothing much after those presentations. And then they signed the agreement in September, which we then approved, and then they immediately rolled them out. So they didn't do any of the outreach like we had thought they would. They didn't do any of the contacts with the property owners or the city or the highway district. And that's really why it didn't work. And so that's why we put a pause to it. We want that to happen like it's happened with the city of Boise. We weren't looking to really change a lot of ordinances. We don't do that very much in Meridian unless we need to. But now how it's happened and how it has rolled out, I think that's part of our process in reinitiating this, is evaluating our ordinances and looking at other models like Boise's to see whether that would make it a better fit.
And Ariane, I want to bring you into the conversation. You have been covering this for Wired Magazine, looking at, a broader view across the country. Where has this worked? Where has it not? And do we know why?
Sure. So these things actually haven't been around for very long, so it's interesting to try to find case studies of these things, because really scooters have only existed for about a year in this share version. Some places where it has worked, I happen to be in San Diego this weekend. Scooters are everywhere there, and the nice thing about San Diego is that it's very flat, very warm throughout the year, so it's a really nice way for people to get around. That said, they've had some pushback from the city about maybe lowering the speed of the scooters, maybe having a bit fewer of them on the sidewalks. They're on every street corner in San Diego. It's pretty remarkable. Some places where they've had less success, in San Francisco, where I live, the companies, much like in Meridian, sort of just rolled out their services without much of a heads up to the city. The city was very frustrated by that. They eventually ordered the scooters off the streets in about June, and then they took a slow, deliberate 3-month period to evaluate a lot of scooter companies and decide exactly which ones they wanted on the street. And now they're running a fairly limited pilot project with only a few scooters in some areas of the city. And that seems to be the approach from a lot of cities at this point. They're approaching this from a pilot project perspective, trying to sort of ease them in, figure out what works before they create firm laws and firm regulations that will determine how scooters work on their streets.
I'm speaking with Lana Graybell, a spokesperson with the City of Boise, Bill Neri, Meridian City Attorney, and Wired reporter Ariane Marshall. We're talking about these e-scooters. And if you would like to join the conversation, you can send us a quick email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu or on Facebook, and we will try to answer your questions. I want to talk about the safety issues and some of the current concerns now. And in fact, this morning, I received an email from a listener, Deborah, and I want to quickly read her email and have you talk about this. She says, I'm a person with a disability who has already encountered problems with them being allowed on the sidewalks. Riders have gone flying by me on sidewalks in downtown Boise and on the Greenbelt. They give little, if any, warning. They come too close to me and my service dog. There were people riding the scooters up and down the Capitol steps on Sunday. People riding scooters also flying through intersections with little regard for traffic. I'm already avoiding some areas because I do not want to encounter them. I resent having my freedom and my rights as a pedestrian limited because scooters are allowed where pedestrians should only be allowed, or they are just too fast for areas where bicycles are normally allowed. They can be on streets, but they should not be allowed on the sidewalks and on the Greenbelt. She says she's disappointed with the city council for allowing this. But she goes on to say, you know, her biggest concern is that it's also blocking ADA access. So how would, Lana, how would you respond to that from the city of Boise's standpoint?
Sure. So we've worked really closely with Lime and Bird, with both companies, to ensure that these scooters are not in the right of way, blocking any access. We have worked with our code compliance team. They're out there from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Moving any scooters that are in the right of way. But we're asking residents also, if they're seeing them in the right of way, to give us a call. And we have a phone number. They can email us and let us know, and we'll go out there and pick them up. But we've also been in contact with both companies daily. And as we're seeing issues that arise via email, on social channels, we're monitoring them daily. We're letting them know, and we're working really closely together to help mitigate some of that.
Because, I mean, there with the ADA access, I mean, that's a huge issue. And in fact, over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there were two scooters blocking ADA access at the corner, at the intersection of Park Center and Pennsylvania. I saw it with my own two eyes. Mm-hmm. That's an issue for people who need that access.
Absolutely. And again, I would reiterate that we would ask anybody that sees them blocking ADA access, A, if they're able to pick them up and move them, but also give us a call or email us. We've extended our hours. We have somebody that is monitoring email over the weekend, too, for the foreseeable future until we're able to mitigate these issues. We did 3 educational events before the scooters launched to let residents know how they should be used, responsible ridership, who to call if there are issues. And both companies were great. They were there and let people ride the scooters. They talked about, you know, how to ride them safely on streets and sidewalks on the Greenbelt. So all of that we're hoping will help continue to mitigate that.
And Bill, I know that the City of Meridian is looking at relaunching this come spring around March.
Yes.
What about these issues with ADA access, you know, people not obeying traffic rules?
This was the number one concern we had with these when they did launch in Meridian, was that the ADA access issue, both for the city as well as the highway district, who has the authority over lots of the right-of-ways and sidewalks, is this type of obstructions and impediments to people in the handicapped community. So it is our number one concern, and it is something that we want to find better locations for these to be and then do the public outreach so the public knows. And that also peers know. When people see someone wanting to dock it in a place where it doesn't belong, that they feel free to comment and say, that doesn't go there. It needs to go in where it belongs, so it doesn't become the problem that it was. That's an education process that needs to be ongoing, and that's our goal, to work with Lime or Bird or whoever to make sure that happens.
And Ariane, when it comes to safety issues, we've already seen our first fatality. I believe it was in Dallas with a Lime scooter. You know, with your reporting, is this a concern?
I'd say you see a lot of stats floating around, things like certain hospitals saying they are seeing something like an 1,000% increase in the scooter injuries they're seeing over last year. But of course, there were no scooters on the streets last year, so that makes a lot of sense. We've heard disparate complaints for specific hospitals. It's hard to get a big picture because the data just isn't there at this point to tell us how bad the scooter injury problem is at this point. I'd say, first, a lot of scooter companies are really strongly encouraging riders to wear helmets. I'd say that's always a smart thing to do. Some are also rolling out new kinds of scooters. When these scooters first came out, they were just exactly the kind of scooters you could buy for yourself on Amazon. Now companies are beginning to design custom vehicles that are made specifically for sharing, specifically to be ridden hard on the streets where there might be potholes, or there might be cracks. So hopefully we're seeing these things get safer as time goes on. Of course, this has been happening so quickly that everyone, cities, residents, and the companies themselves have been working hard to sort of catch up with all the problems that have arisen over the past year.
And I believe, too, that to ride these scooters, you're supposed to be 18 years or older, correct?
Yes, in theory, that's true.
All right, in theory. Because, speaking from my own experience, I have seen Boise high school students riding these. They are under the age of 18. A, are they violating city code? And B, what will the enforcement look like? Are we just going to be turning an eye to people that are not complying with, you know, with what these regulations are supposed to be?
Well, the regulations are per company standards. They both require riders to be 18 years old or older, and they require them to scan their IDs. So,
well, we know kids have fake IDs,
right? No, absolutely. Absolutely. They do. You know, so per company standard, you are supposed to be 18. You are supposed to have an ID that you scan. How to mitigate that? I mean, there's, from our perspective, from a city's perspective, we're a little bit limited in how we, or what, you know, ability we have to mitigate that. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, if we're seeing this to continue to be an issue, and we have seen it, we've seen some comments on social media, some photos that people have shared, and we've reached out to the companies and asked them to continue to reinforce these rules around being 18. And we've also been pushing, you know, a lot on social media, a lot on our blog, on to help kind of work together with them to get these messages out.
You know, it seems like in theory, it's a great idea, right? It is that micro transportation where maybe someone needs to get somewhere, maybe that's a mile or two away. And we know in the downtown core, it's a lot quicker sometimes to not get in a car. So from the standpoint of big picture, it seems like it's a good idea in theory. And I would ask, as we wrap up, maybe all three of you to quickly answer this question. Has it been a bigger issue and problem than everyone expected because it's happened so fast?
I could take that first. Definitely, it's been a bigger problem than we anticipated and probably that they anticipated as well. I did ask the question, where has this worked better? Let's try to model that.
Mm-hmm.
And Meridian has a different model of downtown than Boise does in other cities. So trying to fit it into how it would work best in our city so that all those issues of concerns of safety of the riders, safety of the driving public, safety of pedestrians, all of that is really where the city's focus is wanting to make sure this is done safely and smart. There's always a fad factor that's new. That's the excitement. That's the thousands of miles that get done over the first couple of weeks. Then it'll settle down and people that'll use it for the normal transportation uses. That's where we really want to focus, that the safety still continues. Mm-hmm. And that's what our goal is over the next few months, to work with these companies to create both ordinances if necessary or rules and outreach to make sure that it's done that way.
And Lana, I would ask you the same thing, but maybe put a caveat on that maybe did the city of Boise do their homework? Because you did do the forums, you did do ordinances, you're going to relook at this at the first of the year.
Yes. So we looked at how the scooters have rolled out in other cities, what was successful, what wasn't. Our biggest ask was to do these educational events before they deployed. So once they were out on the streets in the morning, people knew what they were, how to ride them, how to safely ride them. That was really our intention, is to make sure that people were aware and that they knew where they can ride them. They did geofence several areas, and we had worked with both companies ahead of time to identify those areas, including the Capitol, including several parks, Roadscape Park being one of them. You know, and so, like, I'll reiterate, we were cautiously optimistic, and so far we haven't had any serious incidents. We haven't had any instances of injuries reported. So we'll continue to monitor, and in January we'll take a look at the data once we have a little more comprehensive information and go from there.
And Ariane, quickly for you, same question then. Great idea in theory, but did these companies anticipate these problems?
I think they anticipated them a bit, and I'd say also in their defense, for this to really be a viable transportation option for people who are commuting to work, for college kids who are trying to get to classes, you really need a lot of these things everywhere so that people can really open up their phone, open up the app, and there'll be one nearby. So they're hoping to get as many as they can into cities so that they can catch on, and so that these will become something that they'll actually use. And also in their defense, it's my understanding that they are trying to build up their local teams so that they have a dialogue with city officials, government officials. So they're working on it. But it's true that this is moving really fast, and I think there are some unanticipated problems for everyone.
Well, growing pains, definitely, but everyone's talking about it. So, you know, sometimes good publicity, bad publicity, still publicity. I want to thank all of you for coming in today and talking about this. It is definitely a huge topic of conversation within our local communities right now. My guests, Lana Graybill with the City of Boise, Bill Neri, Meridian City Attorney, and Ariane Marshall, a reporter with Wired Magazine. Thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.